baptism and continues on throughout our life. From the time that we are cognizant of what's happening or are not cognizant of what's happening, the time when we're very aware of everything that is in our surroundings. And so today, we get a glimpse of the journey that these young people are on. Their journey has started before today. It'll continue beyond today. But today is a glimpse of kind of where they are as they've gone through this time together. We call our confirmation program Living the Faith. And it is centered around our faith practices that are so much a part of who we are at Bethel. The faith practices of worship, of prayer, of reading the Bible, of serving, of relating, and of giving. And so this one-year program, which began last year at this time, at the very end of the service, as they were commissioned, here they are a year later, sharing with you their faith. And so at this time, I would like to invite our confirmants to come forward and remember to breathe and to speak slowly. And remember that you will never have a more loving crowd to speak before in the rest of your life than the one you have right now.
Wow, that's a lot of people. All right. Hi, I'm Laurel Griffin. I'm the daughter of David and Kathleen Griffin, and my wonderful, amazing mentor is Lee Braithwaite. Now, it took me quite a long time to think about how I was going to write this, a year, actually, and I finished writing it a few weeks ago, so I hope you enjoy. And this is my faith statement. Confirmation has taught me a lot about Jesus and what he does for us in the big picture, and how we're always put here for some peculiar reason. I believe I experienced a bit of my reason already. So last year, I was sitting in a speech and drama course to learn how to talk in front of people. What a coincidence. And this girl who sits next to me in the class was crying like crazy. And I was thinking, oh no, because I'm originally a happy person, so I don't really like it when people are sad. So I go over there and I ask her what's wrong, and she totally ignores me, which I'm not really used to. I walk over to my teacher and I ask if I could take her out in the hall, and he of course says yes. So I grab her arm and I bring her outside the door. At first, I didn't know how to approach the situation other than to make her laugh, because I'm quite good at doing that. So I start to dance and make really weird faces. Mind you, I'm in a pencil skirt and wedges for a speech I'm supposed to present in that class that very same day. She looks up and giggles at me from my stupidity, which I figured was a good sign. So I go and I sit next to her, and I ask her straight up, "Why are you crying? You're usually chill and smiling." And she seemed really hesitant to say anything. But after a few minutes or so, she looked up and she said that she'd quit her job, her grades weren't as what she wanted, people were making fun of her because of her sexuality preferences, and things weren't good at home. I was like, whoa, I was not expecting something like this. And she then started bawling and crying again like crazy, saying how she just wanted this to be all over, that she just wanted to go home and die. And after this, it took a few seconds before I actually realized, oh my God, she really wanted to die. Which, to me, was the first time I'd ever met someone in so much pain. So I looked at her and said the first thing that popped into my head, "No, you don't." And she said, "What do you mean? Of course I do. And no one would miss me anyway." And that really got to me. So I replied to her, "Of course people would. Because if you killed yourself, it would hurt your family and friends and me. Who would I sit next to in this awful class and make fun of the teacher with? No one." At that, she stopped crying and looked sort of shocked. It took her a little while before she finally looked up at me and was like, "True, but would you really miss me?" And you see, I didn't really know her, but I would miss her, because killing yourself isn't fulfilling life or doing what God wanted you to do. So I said, "Yes, really." She then got up and shook herself off and was like, "All right, I can get through the day." A few weeks later, I was sitting there writing another speech for the class, and she whispers to me two words, "Thank you." That's it, but that's all I needed to know I did something great. Now today, I see her in the hallway every day when I walk to my last class, and she smiles and waves at me every day. I will always remember that day because that was the day God worked through me to save someone from the pain they were in. That day, I fulfilled a purpose God put me here to fulfill and or do, and I will always be thankful for my parents and my sister making me go to school that day for that very same reason, along with the fact everything they do for me is for my future and to make it bright, so thank you. And anywho, I made her smile, which was a service for God, and that's something I won't forget. This story ties in with my favorite Bible verse from Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, which is, "And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the sky," which to me means, live life, and when it's time, you'll die and join him flying across the universe. And you see, God puts you here for a reason. And yes, I may not understand what that reason is quite yet, and some people don't even know until their heart is about to stop beating. But at this moment, I want you all to think about this question I'm about to ask you right now. Do you know that reason for you on why God put you here? And that God put us all here for some special purpose? And through confirmation, I've come to believe I'm on my way. And through the grace of God, and I know whatever I do and whatever he has planned for me, he's on my side and will make sure I get it right. Now, before I end this, I would like to thank two people in particular. And first up is my amazing, fantastic, wonderful mentor, Lee Braithwaite. Without you, I would not be myself, the person God wants me to be. So thank you so much. And my second person is my brother, Peter Griffin, who's actually here today. Pete, thank you so much for the advice you give me and the support along with guiding me through my faith and giving me the love and strength to get through the day. I love you so much, Pete. So thank you. Thank you.
Hi guys, printer wasn't working this morning, so we're gonna go computer style. Alright, my name is Darby Garner, my parents are Beth and Sean Garner, and my amazing mentor is Dana Francis. So this year we were supposed to choose a verse to incorporate with our faith statement. I chose Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. It reads, "I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." This verse is really special to me. I believe that I was put on this earth for a reason, and even if I don't know quite what that reason is yet, I know I need to live each and every day with humility, gentleness, patience, and love to be able to live my life to the fullest. It's also really special to me because over the summer, I went to Ephesus, the actual city, and saw all the ancient ruins, and it was amazing. I have a memory to reference whenever I read this passage. That trip made all of the stories that I was told as a kid seem real. Like I was actually there. I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to travel to that amazing place, and I'm so thankful for everything else God has blessed me with throughout my life. He's given me a loving family, caring friends, and a magnificent church family. I'm also eternally thankful that I know I will never be alone, and that he is always with me through the highs and the lows. Speaking of highs and lows, the youth at this church, and especially the other confirmands behind me, are some of the coolest people I've ever met. Some of my favorite memories at this church have been youth events, and whether it be dressing up as superheroes or paying for people's meals at McDonald's, they always bring us closer. That feeling that I get when we're all together at a big event and everyone's singing and has their arms around each other and swaying back and forth to the music brings me such an overwhelming feeling of friendship and kindness and caring. And now, even if I don't have definite plans for the future, or any plans at all, I hope that you will all support me and love me every step of the way. My faith is still growing and changing and developing, and I know that my God, who is above all and through all and in all, will help me and guide me in the journey to find my calling. Thank you.
I'm Maddie Brooks, and I have laryngitis, so my mentor's going to read mine, but my parents are Leslie and Brian Brooks, and my awesome mentor is Miss Kristen. Thank
you. So these are Maddie's words, and I will try and do them justice. From as far back as I can remember, my life has been centered on the church. It seems as if my parents' focus was to make sure that I learned about God and grew up loving him. As a child, though, you normally don't put a lot of meaning into church. Church and God just seemed to you like the normal thing. I don't recall thinking about church as some great thing that would be beneficial to me in later in life. It was just a normal Sunday routine. I had to go to church. No ifs, ands, or buts. Nowadays, once you start getting into your teenage years, church is so important. Although getting up at 7 every morning, every single Sunday, is a bit tricky after having some bad days or just not like feeling like going, once I get there, I always feel better. Without growing up in a church, I wouldn't have met my great friends that I have today. I went to Grace Lutheran Preschool, where I met my best friend, a.k.a. Savannah. Through the years, we haven't always had school together, but through church, we grew really close. I love my church friends. It's so great that at church you can form these great friendships that will last years upon years. God definitely reaches me through my friends. At church, no one judges you. You can be your true self and you don't have to worry. At school, sometimes people try to hide per se and aren't open because they're scared of being made fun of or just being judged. Today, speaking in general terms, of course, it is incredibly difficult to escape from that. I can admit that I tend to do that sometimes, and I'm sure most teenage girls do too, but when I'm at church and with my church friends, I don't have to worry what anyone thinks about me. I can be my own person because I know that everyone is accepting of me and welcoming. That's like God too. He will never judge me and will always love me no matter what. This summer was definitely an eventful one for me when we're talking about doing things involved with church. First, I went to confirmation camp for a week, and then about a month and a half later, I went to New Jersey for a mission trip. At first, I thought this confirmation camp was going to be extreme torture. I don't do well with the outdoors because I love my bed and TV, but of course, I had to give that up for a week. Once I got there, I discovered that the cabins we were sleeping in had no air conditioning whatsoever, and we had to rely on the outside air. We weren't allowed to take a shower whenever we want to, and we weren't even allowed to have our phones for a whole week. All caps. Now, granted, there wasn't any service there anyway, but it would have been nice to have so we could have taken cute pictures for Instagram. Surprisingly, though, it was a fun week without that. Being on top of a mountain that is at least a good 30 minutes from civilization has its perks. To learn about God, you need that type of seclusion. There are way too many distractions in the outside world to grow close to God and fully focus on him. I learned way more there than I expected. Going to New Jersey was probably the best week of the year for me. It was my first mission trip, and I didn't know what to expect. I was pretty skeptical at first about it because I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I knew I'd be doing stuff involving houses, but there were no specifics. I didn't know how to build things, let alone even use a hammer. Through doing all these things I did there, like building a deck with Clara or putting insulation under a house, I did what God wants us to do for his people. He wants us to be his hands and feet by doing good works and helping out in communities. I felt like such a great person for doing these things because I made a difference in someone else's life, which is our job as Christians. These people affected by Hurricane Sandy, which is why we went there in the first place, couldn't have done that without our help. Some of them were infirmed or old, elderly, and didn't have the money to be able to afford the building materials in the first place. Without being so close to my church, I would never have been able to help out and make such a great impact on people, and I am so thankful and glad I had the opportunity to do what God wants us to do. The verse that best sums up my journey so far as a young Christian is Matthew 5:16, and it states, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." My interpretation of this verse is that God's good works are shown through me and you, and we as a congregation should make the doing of these works our top priority. The journey of confirmation has taught me that God has fought hard and sacrificed many things to have a relationship with me, and I can only pray that through my life, and through all that I have learned and will learn, I will desire a deeper relationship with him.
All right. Hi, my name is Savannah McKee. My parents are Lisa and Eddie McKee, and my mentor is Charlie Moyer. So when I was really little and I went to Grace Lutheran, I never ever went to the church services or anything. I just went to preschool with Maddie, and when we moved and I started going to Bethel and I had to wake up every Sunday, I didn't really like that very much. The church services here used to be kind of boring to me, but I think that all really changed when I started confirmation, more specifically this past summer. So Maddie has been my best friend since we were two. This past year, she made all of the confirmation meetings and all the things we had to do much more fun. She would motivate me to get all the work done, and we just had so much fun over the past year. Especially when we did other community service, like this summer, I was in charge of setting up the confirmand service event. The plan was to go to two different nursing homes, but the adult said the event details weren't worked out very well, and I needed to cancel it. So I kind of told everyone no, because I worked really hard on the whole event and I didn't think it was worth canceling. So I got a few youth together and I got some pudding and we all went out there. We didn't have a huge turnout, but I don't regret having the event. Also with my youth, we did more service, like we went on a mission trip to New Jersey, which was a lot of fun. It was my first though, so I was kind of nervous about building houses and using tools in general, because tools are not my thing. But turns out, most of us tried something new. But I had a great time helping out those who couldn't afford the services that I got to provide to them, like helping to build a deck or installing insulation under a house. But during the trip, I became so close to so many new people, which was great. But what I really learned this summer was that God shines through us and does his work through us and helps us to make a difference for those who need it. That New Jersey week is what really made me want to come to church. I had such an amazing time doing what I loved with people I cared about. So after I started my confirmation year, I have loved coming and being a part of my youth. But I really love helping out in my community and making a difference in the lives of others. But being able to help out others while being at church with those who care about me means a lot. That's why I chose 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Anna Griffin, and my parents are David and Kathleen Griffin, and my lovely mentor is Miss Carolyn Moyer. Well, over the summertime, my dad and I and some friends went backpacking in New Mexico. We hiked about 104 miles, with the elevation climbing up to 12,000 feet. And my crew elected me as their crew chaplain. So when we were in New Mexico, I organized and led a killer worship service. Pastor Dave, you would have been proud. It helped me grow closer to God while I was there. It showed me all of God's greatest gifts, like dazzling stars, beautiful mountain streams, sunrises and sunsets, and of course all of God's creatures. Are a little bit closer than comfort, like mountain lions pacing around your tent at night or 6-foot diamondback rattlesnakes greeting you when you go to the bathroom. My Bible verse that I chose was Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Well, about a month ago, I picked this Bible verse out because I really wanted to renew my strength and soar like an eagle and return to running and stop fainting, because about 2 months ago, I started fainting in school. It was in French class. I always knew that class would be the death of me. Anyway, my loving parents made me go to the doctor. He had me do an EKG, and he said it came up weird, so he sent me to a heart specialist. And he said he spent some time with me and told me that I'd woof Parkinson White syndrome, and I would probably have to have a heart operation done. So the journey begins. Well, I feel like after this entire thing, God's going to be there with us, no matter if we need him or not. It helps me grow closer to him because he has my life in his hands like the rest of us. On October 20th, we found out that my family's and y'all's prayers were answered. I don't have to have heart surgery because the heart surgeon at UVA spent the morning with me, putting me through some exhausting stress tests, and he could not come up with a malfunctioning pathway to cut out. So it seemed to have just disappeared. In fact, the harder I worked, the better my heart got. And as my dad would say, I believe in miracles. And thank you to Ms. Carolyn Moyer for being my mentor throughout this entire journey. And thank you for my parents for standing there, keeping the faith.
My name is Hannah Lothrop, and my parents are Stephanie Mahan and Bruce Lothrop. And my mentor is Kristen DeHaven. And before I start, I just want to say that Maddie didn't mention the family of mice that was living in our cabin at Caroline Furnace. So, so my verse that I chose was Hebrews 12:1, and I chose the King James Version translation. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I picked up this verse from my dad a year or two ago. Before that, I never really had a particular favorite Bible verse that stuck out to me, but this one really spoke to me as a distance runner. It makes sense to me, it's talking literally about a race, but it also makes sense talking about faith. There's a very strong mental aspect to running. When you go into a race, you have to leave everything that's on your mind and stressing you out or bothering you behind. The only way to do well is to forget about your troubles and only think about the race. The same is true for the race of faith. You have to leave all your weight and sin behind you and throw yourself into the race. You have to focus all your energy on the race. The only way to run your best is to lose yourself in the race, to lose yourself to God. There are other translations of this verse that use words like endurance and persistence, which are both good, but patience has always stuck out to me more. There isn't very much patience in the world anymore. With the internet and everything, everything's very now, but I learned a lot about patience this past cross-country season. I sprained my foot, and I was in a boot for about a month and couldn't run. It was incredibly hard for me to sit at practice and watch everyone else run, and it took a lot of patience to be able to wait 4 weeks to run again, but God gave me the strength to run. Life is full of things like this. There's physical and mental pain. Sometimes it's hard to understand why God lets this kind of suffering happen, but he always has a reason. The first time I ran after I got the boot off, I realized my reason. The weather was perfect, the pain was gone, and I felt strong again. I realized that being away from running for so long had made me love it even more. It was something that I could do instead of something I had to do. I wondered if that was God's plan. He wanted to really make me appreciate what I had and what I could do. Out of the pain came new joy and strength. I believe that God does things like this to make us realize what we have and what he is capable of. He mixes things up and turns your life upside down, and you come out of it with a new view or knowledge. He gives you the strength and patience to push through the hardest parts of the race, the pain, the loss, and the restrictions. But in the end, the hardest parts of the race make you appreciate the victory even more. I will be patient through the ups and downs, every struggle, all the pain, and everything that comes my way, and I will keep running the race that is set before me.
Hi, my name is Danny Milburn, and my parents are Diane and Tom Milburn. I would like to thank my Jedi Master, Greg Brondos, for working with me through my confirmation journey. I would also like to thank all of my grandparents for their love and being able to make it to my confirmation today. I am very proud to have been born and baptized into the Lutheran Church. My family is kind of a legacy in the church and a long history. My great-great-great-grandfather, the Reverend William Jacob Smith, and my great-uncle, E.B. Smith, were pastors for the Gravel Springs Parish that once included Bethel. E.B. was my grandmother's confirmation teacher. My great-grandfathers were both Lutheran pastors, and my grandfather was also a Lutheran pastor. So you can tell I was born to be a Lutheran, but I'm happy about that. My life has been filled with great moments brought on by my faith and the faith of others around me. My parents took me to Grace and Bethel, and I have been lucky to have wonderful Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. All the youth events that I have gone to, summer camp at Lutheridge and Luther Rock, and being part of the leadership team for Lost and Found, these events have all made great memories in my life that have made my faith what it is today. The Lost and Found Planning Group was one of the greatest times of my faith that I have had. When I was with those people, we could talk about our faith and personal journeys, and everyone else would listen. Nobody would judge you or interrupt you, and I look forward to more chances like this to shape my faith, including Detroit for the ELCA National Youth Gathering this summer. That is what I love about the Lutheran community. Everyone is friendly and kind and will help you if you just ask. That is what has molded my faith up until this point. I use them as a model of what I would like to be like and how to act, and that has made me the person I am today. So for me, faith is a lot about community and sharing. The name of this church is Bethel. The word means house of God. To me, Bethel has meant more than just a house. It is another home for my extended faith family. And Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." This is the way that I see the church. It is a place I can come to be comfortable and be with God. I always have fun when I come to the church because I can relax and everyone is a friend. I think it is incredible how Bethel does so many amazing acts of service. It is like we are trying to share the church community with everyone around us. So I'm happy to be part of the Bethel and Lutheran community and continuing to fit my faith journey with you. Thank you all for your love and support. Peace.
All right, just stand here. Yeah. First of all, as always, you guys were fantastic. I just loved hearing what you had to share, and they've been a wonderful group. They have been an excellent group in terms of doing the work that is there. We certainly did have a great time at confirmation camp. We saw some of those pictures last week at the stewardship slideshow, and just a wonderful group of young people. We are very blessed to have you and proud of you. And one more time, we just want to thank you for sharing your faith with us today. And I invite us now as a community of faith to stand and let us sing the song that we have to sing every Reformation. A mighty fortress is our God.